Hello and welcome to the Bridges Church audio podcast. As you listen to this week's message, we hope that you will be inspired and encouraged in your walk with God. To find out more about Bridges Church, visit our website, bridgeschurch.co.nz, or find us on Facebook at Bridges Church, Cambridge, NZ.
Can you just stand with me, please? I'm going to read a scripture to you guys, and I want you to bear with me. It really doesn't seem like it's going to have anything to do with this, but trust me, it does. It's Romans 8, 15 through 17. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Father, I commit every word to you. I commit all your children and every word I say to them to you. May our hearts be ready to hear you. May they be ready to change to what you call us to. And may we be the fertile soil. And may the enemy not come and snatch what you've given to us. In your name, Jesus, amen. All right, I have a lot of scriptures. I'm going to go through them really quick. This is all part of a collaborative, is it 18 weeks we're doing this, Doug? You said I have an hour each time and 18 weeks. It's an eight, no? Just kidding, I'm going to keep it to about 30 minutes, maybe at max 25. If you are someone who takes notes, I'm going to read you the scriptures from where I'll be reading, and I'll do it really briefly. Ready? Pen and paper. John 15, 1 through 5. Galatians 5, 22 through 24. Actually, you can change that from 5, 22 to 5, 13 through 6, verse 10. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7. Leviticus... Oh, come on, it's pretty quick, but I'll give you the paper. So Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7, we there? Leviticus 19, I would actually suggest reading 1 through 18 if you have the time. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, all of chapter 13. And Philippians 2, verse 13. So I had a thought about something when we were, did I push a button? Hey, I'm not pushing nothing. So I had a thought about something while we were ministering to people. And one of the things that kind of hit me was, do you love me, Caleb? Do you love me? And do you love me enough to look like a fool to minister to someone? Do you love me enough to kneel in someone's urine? Do you love me enough to sit in sweltering 37 real field degree temperatures where you're a sweaty person, Caleb, drinking 9 liters of water a day and using the bathroom once to twice, taking 2 to 3 showers, being bitten by mosquitoes? Do you love me enough to suffer a little inconvenience in your life? And the answer to me was, yeah, sure, of course I do. Until you're there, though, you don't really know. You really don't. I knew it was going to be hot, but the question remained with me the whole time. Do you love me? Yes. Yes, I do. And he said to me, for it is not the manifestation of my gifts, but the growing of the fruit of the Spirit that will come. The manifestation of gifts is the outpouring of a garden full of the fruit of the Spirit. Don't fool yourselves. It says in Galatians, I won't read it to you, but it's in 6. I think it's verse 8. Don't fool yourselves. God won't be mocked. You reap what you sow. John 15, 1 through 5. I'm going to read the whole thing to you, but I'm only going to have a little bit up there. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. And I want to really hamper on this last part. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I've cut a lot of limbs off of a lot of trees on my property because we have an orchard. And none of the limbs we cut off grow fruit. This is a fact. It's a little fact. You could plant it, I suppose, and make something out of it, but let's look now at what a fact is. And you're going to say, well, Caleb, you said the source of growing the fruit of the Spirit is love, and you notice the first one up there is love. I'm going to read 5:22 through 24 for you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So yeah, I see that. That one of the fruits of the Spirit is love. So then how can it also be the source? Well, Jesus is talking about growing and bearing this fruit. I'm going to hit the back button. I did it successfully. Hooray. He says, he it is that bears much fruit. Now, there are other fruits that we can bear. Money used towards the kingdom is a fruit, but I would argue that's used in a fruit of the Spirit. Generosity, charity is something we use it for. And it's all for what? It's all for loving God. All of these fruit, and I'll come back to them in a bit, all of these fruit are what we're to bear. And how do we bear them? Jesus says in Matthew 22, 37 through 40, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Where do we get these? Jesus quoted these. One of them is Deuteronomy 6. It's more than that. It's actually called the Great Commandment, that whole section. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. And you will walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. It's not a moment that we talk about these things. This is a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle that breeds fruit. Fruit is grown. Some trees, like the kiwi fruit, I think it takes 5 years to start producing fruit. That's years of weed whacking. That's years of diligence. That's years of cutting back. That's years of expenditure to see a fruit come after time. Some of the fruits that we get to enjoy, and I'll go over them later, are ones that might not be so fun to grow. So Leviticus 19, 18, I'm going to just read, it's 9 through 18, read that when you get a chance. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And God ends it in classic fashion, I am the Lord. In other words, I said this. I'm a man of my word. In Exodus 15, 3 says, the Lord God is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Hebrews 13, 8, he says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not changing, just in case you were wondering. He's not going to waffle on his decisions. He's not going to change his mind. He is dedicated so much to loving you and that you love one another that he has wrath towards which is not love. It is love in itself that determines if you don't love someone, his wrath turn against it. It is his divine love that says, if you do not love, I do not love what you're doing. Agapao, which comes from the verb of agape. I took it from Thayer's Greek because I thought it was really interesting because we're thinking, how do I love the Lord my God with all my might, all my strength, and all my soul? When it's used in relation to a master or a lord, it's affectionate reverence, prompt obedience, grateful recognition of benefits received. So I'm going to read you a little bit something. We're going to hop really quick through these next couple ones. Ready? Galatians 5, 16 through 18. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those who are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. All right, we're going to hop over to the next one. Oops, I hit the wrong button, I think. All right, so looking at 1 Corinthians 13, I broke it into three pieces. That's actually a photo of my Bible. Anyway, so faith, I love my Bible. Pistis, assurance, belief, believe, faith, fidelity. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Remember what Jesus said? Those who are not in me can do nothing. So I would argue, if you don't have love, you're not in him. He's not abiding in you. If I give all I have away, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. So now we look at agape, love, benevolence, good, will, esteem. There's a word, and I love the word, it's beloved. I promised myself I wouldn't call you guys that much today, maybe once or twice, because I do love you. And you should feel as if I love you, because I do. I have nothing for you but love. I have no ill thoughts of you. I don't think mean things about you. I only have love for you. And that's what you should have for me as well. You should war against that which is not of God in me. Correct me should you see something. You should war against things in me that do not reflect the Holy Spirit and his will in our lives. You should pray and stand beside me should you see me fall. Galatians 6:1 says, if a brother trespass, restore him in gentleness. So deal with me gently. So love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So the next part is hope. Hope is expectation, trust, confidence. In this form, it's elpis is the word. And 8 through 12 is essentially that bit, 8 through 11, sorry. So love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, that's out for debate, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. Let me tell you something. You know, we think about hope all the time. You might have it rolling through you a little bit, but let me give you a little idea what hope is. Hope is one day you get to know God face to face, like he knows you right now. Don't be fooled. He knows you 100% inside out, top to bottom. He knows every motive you might have. He has every dream you might commit. He knows everything about you. And one day, what hope is, one day is hope is this: I get to know him like he knows me. Don't hope for things. Hope for that. But don't hope for that there. Hope for it to start changing here. It's not good enough to one day be washed and dead and in his presence. No, wrong. Hope now. Hope now for change. Hope now for his presence in your life and act on it. For we now see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. But then, man, if you're not excited about meeting Jesus, oof, yeah, then get excited, because the most exciting thing you will ever get to do is come face to face with him. Our advocate. In Hebrews 10, oh man, I wasn't going to go here, but in Hebrews 10, it says that he has sanctified us, and we are being sanctified by him by this one moment. The one moment Jesus gave it up. He forever is sanctifying you. But it says not to spit in the face of grace. So let's be careful about that too. So then, as we have opportunity, I'm going to go back a little bit here. So now hope, faith, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. I'm going to read it like this. So now faith, which is assurance, which is belief, which is believing, which is faith, which is fidelity, and hope, which is expectation, trust, and confidence, and love, which is benevolence, and goodwill, and esteem, abide, these three, but the greatest of them is love. And I can speak that with full assurance. I've tried the other two. Trust me, if you know me at all, I have tried the other two. I've seen manifestations of many things holy from the Lord. And every time I'd end with the manifestation, he would say, but do you love me? Do you love my children? Do you love your fellow man? And do you love yourself? Because it says, like Jesus says, one is like this, he says in Matthew 22. One is like this. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's the same type of love, too. It's agape. So we're going to go to Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. After this is the whole list of things that we do in the flesh up until 22, when we learn, but through the Spirit we start to make these fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, that is. Why do we want to love one another, though? Why? I would ask you to go home and think a big question, a real big question, three-letter question that you get to ask yourself about nearly everything you do. Why? And really think about it. Really point down deep into yourself and ask why. And if the answer isn't because Jesus said, and if it isn't because I love the Lord, you might want to make a correction. But through love, serve one another. You know, if you see some mess in the church, wouldn't it be love for you to clean it up? There was a couple of years ago, some kid was just pouring water on the floor. I believe it was one of your kids, Damien. Was just pouring water on the floor. And I went to clean it up. I set about cleaning it up, man, and I used a kitchen rag on the floor. And I got horse-collared by someone. You don't do that. And so I was like, all right. Well, I used my leg and foot to drag it over to an area and went and got paper towel, but we didn't have enough paper towel, so I went to the bathroom and I got toilet paper. Because I didn't want someone to slip and fall. Because I saw that opportunity. I know it's, look, you've knocked your water over, by the way. I saw that opportunity. Like father, like daughter. Bless you, bless you. Moving on. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Who is that? That's me, and that's you, and that's you, and that's you, beautiful Conrad, and that's you, and that's you, Matthew, with your awesome hair. That is, and you too, And it's all of us. And it's people, let's speak with hope here now. It's people that we don't think are Christians yet, but we want them to be. Let's speak with hope that they get eternity in their hearts too. And instead of speaking at them or with them as if they hadn't seen the hope, why don't we speak to them with hope? Why don't we speak to them with life? Why don't we speak to them with pause, for cause? And what's the cause? To love. Because it's God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. You know, I hear a lot. You could go back to the Fruit of the Spirit page. I hear a lot from people because I say God has said to me, and they go, wow, how do you hear from God? Well, I beat myself up a lot. And in me beating myself up, I go to God a lot and I say, do you want this for me? Is this an accurate representation of who you are? The scripture doesn't say this about me. And then all of a sudden, scriptures come to remembrance. You're more than a conqueror, but through love serve one another. And these things start to hit me and hit me and hit me over and over again, and they haunt me day in and day out. And yeah, maybe at that point I'm hearing from God. Maybe at that point the Holy Spirit's just calling to remembrance that which he ought, so I know what I ought to know. But the simplest thing is, ready? We're going to go down from the top. Love. Do you have love for one another? These aren't questions for you to raise hands or not. I look at you guys, my church, and it's why I'm so proud of my church. And I shouldn't be, but it's why I love you guys even more than I probably have before. Is because I see in you a lot of these fruit. And in a moment here, I'm not going to call out names or anything, but would you just exhort yourselves a little bit? Would you just take light of your heart a little bit and understand that this is actually what I see in our church quite often? But then if this is what we see, and we say love is the source, well, then we have to go back to one spot in specific, one specific place. It's the cross. It's Jesus spread out, beaten, marred for us. It says in Isaiah 52:14, his figure was not of a human. He was so beaten you wouldn't recognize him. And this is the marred man that they had to carry the cross outside of Jerusalem until someone else grabbed it up. I can't remember his name, but here he is, marred beyond the figure of a human. Do you think that he showed love in that moment? Did he show gentleness and self-control? Was he faithful? Was God faithful in that moment? Absolutely. Was he gentle in that moment? Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they've done. If that's not gentleness, maybe you need to identify what gentle is. Did he show self-control? He could have called for the angels to rescue him. He showed self-control. He said, I take joy in the cross coming. He set his face like flint towards the cross. He took joy in it coming. He was patient. Not always with Herod, though. You tell that fox, he says. And nor are we to be too accommodating to the enemy's jives and jabs. And let me just put something on you for a moment. This is the whole thing I want to give you. And this comes from my time on the recent trip, but it comes from our trips to the hospitals. It comes from me ministering to people I see in the street. And there's something that comes and wells up within me. And it's a question I ask myself over and over and over and over again is, will I see you as Christ has made you? Will I see the finished work in heaven in you? And I choose to say yes. Now, I won't do it perfectly, big surprise. But if my trajectory is to see heaven written on your heart, my actions towards you will grow this fruit. But that's only half of it. The other half is loving the Lord with all your mind, which means your thought life. Are you thinking about things you ought not? Are you getting mad about people? Are you thinking about things? Put them on the cross. You don't have the right to do that anymore. When you asked him into your heart, you gave him permission. You called him Lord. So let's be clear on what Lord means. It means king. It means he issues the decrees and you listen. And one of the major decrees he gives you is go therefore and make disciples. I'll translate that into one word, availability. You cannot be making disciples if you're unavailable. I'm not saying for you to give up all your time. Not in the least. Live your life. Live it unto the Lord. Availability comes at a cost, though. But that cost is the cost of making disciples. You wonder where the church is now. Do you wonder about the health of the church? I do too. And when I asked God about the health of the church, he said to me, the church is sick. That was his response to me. And in Mark, we get this answer. What does that mean? Why does your master eat and dine with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, responds and says, the sick need the physician. If you have Christ in you, is the physician not in you? If you have Christ in you, urging you to good works, is not the good works in you? I'm not saying this is easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. Because it comes at a cost, especially patience. Some people here might not like me. That's all right. You have to have patience with me as I grow. And I have patience with you as you grow too. Let us all esteem each other high enough that we give patience where we ought not have before. And I said ought, not might. I said ought. Because you have to give up even your personality to Christ. Every last little bit has to be given. If you say, well, that's me and that's who I am, Satan said that too. Be careful. The greatest sin that haunts at our door is pride. This is who I am, Lord, but this is who you made me to be. Jeremiah talks about the potter and the clay, and we also hear about that in Romans 9. Does the clay have the right to tell the potter what it is? We all preach sovereignty, and we say it's, you know, it's either God's will to do this or to do that, and we neglect what sovereignty really means. Answer this. Is there anything God could do that would be bad? The answer is no. I'll answer it for you. So if he's sovereign, is anything he's going to do going to be bad? Again, the answer is no. So why do we look at sovereignty and say, well, God sent people to hell? No, no, no. Wrong. God allows your sovereignty too. He made you in his image. And that is the work we must do. The grace at the cross requires the hand of faith to say, I take this. It is not the opposite. It is not that the Holy Spirit comes in and elects a person. The elect of Christ are all that come and accept through grace, in faith, that he died for you, and that if we believe on him who was raised from the dead, we will live with him eternally. But why, again, going back to hope, why wait until then? I live such a charmed life that it's almost sickening sometimes. I've got great parents. I've got great in-laws. I've got great family. I've got a great church. I'm blessed beyond my means. We spend money that we didn't even know we had. I'm blessed beyond my means. And it all comes from him. It all comes from him. And you are blessed beyond your means too. You might not see it. Sometimes when we're hungry, we go, I'm not really feeling all that blessed right now. Sometimes when we see someone with a really cool car and really nice clothes, we don't really feel all so blessed. But Solomon in all his splendor, never compared to the lilies of the field. And there's never been a raven that God didn't pay attention to find its meal. How much more so than the lilies of the field, and how much more so than the birds of the air, does our Father, Lord, King, Savior, brother, co-heir, how much more does your friend, Jesus Christ, care for you? I'll leave it with this. The source of all this isn't something you do on your own. It is the Holy Spirit in you, urging you, pushing you, fighting for you, advocating for you, giving you unctions, guiding you with his eye, or would you prefer the bit and bridle? And the stirrup and the kick in the ribs, would you prefer it? I'd prefer to know that I'm co-laboring with Christ. I'd prefer to know when someone's sick and I lay hands on them that he's going to be there, that I can trust him. He is trustworthy. So all of these fruit, kindness, patience, peace, joy, love, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all of these come from the Holy Spirit within us, bought at a price. I want to play that video one more time. Can we spool that up, please? And the reason I want to play it, not because there's testimonies in it that I care about, because this isn't something I did. This isn't something the other people that were with me did, outside of the fact that we were co-laboring with. It was Christ in us and his goodwill, his good pleasure to see us do his works. And the greatest delight you'll ever have of your life is when you let him urge and work through you with love. It's not a feeling. I've got a news flash for you. It's not a feeling. It is a reality. It's a presence. These lights aren't a feeling. These curtains aren't a feeling. They may elicit a feeling, but they're not a feeling. They're a presence. Just like God is. He is ever present. He says, lo, behold, I will never leave you nor forsake you until the end of the age. You're not alone. Nor is the person you look at, nor is the person who needs ministry. None of you are alone. Let's go ahead and play that one more time. Amazing grace. That was me dancing, by the way. Get ready to pause it, please. Not there. Right there. All right. After slow reports of healed eyesight, we stayed firm, knowing God's word is forever settled in heaven. Believers shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. God's word is settled. Forever. Forever. And I'm gonna end. You can turn that off. And just put it on a black screen, please. And if you could, just put a little ambiance on. You're the man, Malcolm. I want to leave you with an image that God gave me years and years ago in this church. When I was praying, I had a season of zeal. I would argue it's never gone away. But I had a season of zeal that would pop up within me, and the question would always be, how do I get more of Jesus? What in reality, what I needed to be was less of who I thought I was and more of who he says I am. It wasn't me needing more of Jesus. He came in fullness and in power. There is no lack of the Holy Spirit in me. I guarantee you, I have a full portion of him. He is in me in 100%, just like you and everyone here who's accepted him into their life. He did not move in with just his toothbrush. He brought the whole moving truck. And we've compartmentalized God and said, this is who you are. Don't do that. So I'm going to leave you with a little image. I heard you. I'm going to leave you with a little image of what God showed me during that time when I was praying for people. And I'll actually specifically call out the four names of people I was praying for that God put this in my head for, because they're here. And I can say this because I love them, and, you know, well, and it shouldn't embarrass them that they know that I pray for them. Damien, you were one. Aaron Crockman, you're another. Amy Josephine Smith, now Stanley. You were Smith back then. Now you're Stanley. You were one. And Jacob, you were another. And God gave me this picture. And here it is. I am an everlasting God. I exist outside of what you define as reality and outside of what you understand as time. Thus, the moment I thought of you, I knew you. I created you inside and out. I placed you where you were. I knew who you'd be around. And I made you for this time, this place. I did not make a mistake with how tall you are or how tall you aren't. I did not make a mistake with what color your skin is or how big your teeth are, nor how big your ears are. None of this is a mistake that I've made. The conventions of man, the realities they have labeled you with, are the lies with which you have judged my creation. I have made you perfect, and I have called you to be perfect. I sit outside of time with you in perfection. You have no blemish, no spot. I did not err. He is always seeing you in this place. There's nothing you can do to run from who he says you are. The world will tell you that you aren't this, or you aren't that, or this is who you've become. But it's not so. What I say matters. Who I say you are is reality. You don't get to define that which I've defined. You get to be revealed what I've defined. So when I looked at these people I was praying for, God revealed to me that the rest of all people I see, everyone I see, I am to see them like this. God made you and holds you in perfection. And he wages war with the enemy who has lied and maligned the truth of who you are. Are you willing to love me with that kind of love? To see what God wants for me as I want for you? I'd say you are. I've seen it in your actions. Maybe it's just formal to say it with your words. But there isn't a person here that I wouldn't go more than a mile with if you asked me to go afoot. Let us journey together. Let's be the body, the real body. Not a body that goes, I wish I was an ear and you're a finger. Let's be the body that loves its members. And when one's weak, they pick them up. Lord, I'm going to just end it right now. And if anyone needs prayer, anyone wants ministry, we have a beautiful team at this church, and you have a beautiful family all around you. Don't go without. Should you need something, don't go without. Let's share each other's burdens. Use that spirit within you to share one another's burdens, to love one another. It's so important that we do that. Because in him, when there's love, there's no enmity. There's no division. If you look at me and say, I'm willing to love you as you love me, there's no division there. There's just collaboration and co-laboring. So if anyone needs prayer, we're going to open up afterwards. There's a beautiful team here willing to pray with you. And if not, there's awesome time for fellowship downstairs. And I want to bless you all. So Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, your son, your only son, your begotten son, you planted that seed, the fertile mind of Jesus Christ, into children, not to make servants, but to make more sons and daughters. So Jesus, I ask that that fertile seed of Jesus Christ, the revelation of who he is, be planted firmly into each one of these people. May they know that they are loved, that they are well cared for, that their family cares for them and loves them. Let them know, Lord. Surround them. Overtake them with your blessings, Lord. Financially, emotionally, physically, I say emphatically, be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. Be blessed.